That's right. But you know what? The weak in heart will just lay down and play dead, but the people that trust God will stand right up and keep right on going. Amen. And trust Him. Amen. First, let me read this to you. And then I asked him, here's another one. I just asked him about 2 minutes ago. I wanted him to sing a special before I preach. Dear church family, thank you so very much for the memorial donation to the American Cancer Society, made on behalf of my sister, Joyce Berry. We also appreciate the cards, prayers, and love shown to our family during this time. With much love, Jeannie Sawyer and family. Amen. And we're still praying for you, sister. A wonderful sister that you still have. You just have her in another area. Amen. She's before the Lord now, and that's awesome. Also, don't forget that we're gonna have a funeral here on August 1st. A wedding. Brenda Dixon and Brian Bonner request the pleasure of your company as they unite in marriage Saturday, August 1st at 3 o'clock here at Everett Christian Church. She requests your presence, but she requests no gifts. Amen. They're over 60. They got plenty. Amen. So they said, no gifts, just... Unless they're $100 bills. Okay. You don't bring any presents unless it's $100 bills. Amen. That'll be welcome. Amen. You know, God has us in the palm of His hand. And because we're in the palm of His hand, it doesn't matter what comes your way. Even when circumstances come, when people don't show up or things aren't done, or you go to grab something, and when you go to grab it, it's not even there because it hadn't been done. All kinds of stuff like that. Every last one of us has that in our life. We have unexpected calls. We get a call to the emergency room. We get a call to go up to wherever. It's a constant thing that happens in our life. Somebody asked me one day, says, is it ever going to calm down? And I said, when you quit breathing. They said, what are you trying to tell me? I said, it's called life. And you got to learn how to roll with the punches. But not only is it called life, when you got Jesus Christ, you've got capital L-I-F-E. And you can really roll with the punches. Amen. And so sheltered. We are sheltered. And sheltered means a big word. It's a big word. It's not some small word. It's not something to take lightly. We are sheltered. Sheltered. Y'all say that with me. Sheltered in the arms of God. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, bro. My key. See.
The judge, no hand so kind and tender, they're leading me through paths that I must try. I have no fear, cause Jesus walks beside me, and for I'm sheltered in the arms of God, so lay the storms rage out, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and not a word shall harm me. And for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Soon. shall hear the call from him that is foretold. Come home, my child, it's the last mile you must try. Now fall asleep, 'cause Jesus wants me beside me. Then for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So when the sun's ring tide, the dark cloud dies, they won't worry me, for I shall turn safe within the arms of God. And he won't with me, yet none of earth shall harm me. Yet for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So may the sun rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I shall feel safe within the arms of my God. He won't with me, yet none shall be. Yet for I shelter in the arms of God. Yet for I shelter in the arms of God.
Praise the Lamb of God. I'm going to tell you a story about, let me forget to tell you the story about right there in just a minute. You know, a minister, wasn't that awesome? God was just awesome. Amen. God's awesome. A minister told his congregation, said, next week I plan to preach on the sin of lying. Y'all ready? To help you understand my sermon, I want you all to read Mark 17. The following Sunday, the minister asked for a show of hands for those who read Mark 17. Every hand went up. Then the minister smiled and said, Mark only has 16 chapters. Now we'll proceed on my sermon on the sin of lying. Yeah, some of y'all laugh, some of y'all thinking, hey. Hey, and I was getting ready to read too. Get your Bible out. Get your Bible. Children, you're dismissed to Children's Church. Get your Bible out to Joshua chapter 1. I don't plan on keeping you long, but that sometimes my plans don't always work out. Amen. Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Stand for the reading of the word. Joshua chapter 1. I actually was planning on preaching another one from last week, and honestly, the Lord spoke to me. And honestly, he just spoke to me in a very strong voice and said, there's a lot of people in my church that are having trouble starting over again. They're having a trouble picking back up and going forward versus stuck or looking back. And so this is where we want to read today. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Y'all say dead. Y'all say yesterday is gone. Say it again. Yesterday is gone. I want you to remember this. Yesterday is a good schoolmaster, but it is a terrible roadmap forward. It's a great schoolmaster. It's a terrible leader to go forward. Or teacher. Now, it's a good teacher, but that just as far as it goes. Now, therefore, arise. This guy's been down. Go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give thee, them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the termites. I'm seeing if y'all listening. Okay, turn to Mark 17 then. And the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and be of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide and inheritance the land, which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Now, I want us to pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. Lord, you're an awesome God. You are a powerful God. There is absolutely nothing that you cannot do. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, Father, in a very powerful way this day. Lord, let your name be glorified, Lord. Father, let us know, God, that we have nothing to fear because you're with us, Lord. And we know, God, that no matter what comes our way, we are more than enough through Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and the church said, I guess if I can give them a high five, low five, no five, some kind of five. 4 1/4, 4 1/2, do something. Amen. Now look, now I want y'all to say this together. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Praise the Lamb of God. God is awesome all the time. God is. Today I want to preach to you for a few minutes on God, I need confidence to keep going. God, I need confidence. I need strength. I need hope. I need the faith to get back up and to keep on going. You ain't got to raise your hands, but have you ever prayed that prayer? Have you ever prayed it lately? Have you even prayed it today? Praise the Lord. There's people that would be here this morning, but they said the same thing. And God needs a touch. All of us in a very powerful way. And I thank him for what he can do. Amen. Now here, look at this. Have you ever had your expectations zapped out from under you? Come on, y'all. I'm not talking about just rug pulled. I'm talking about zapped out. I mean, you were expecting one thing and another thing happened. You were expecting to go to the right and you pushed everything to the right and you went to the left. Or you thought something was coming one way and it came another way, and here you are, you're left with all your hopes and your dreams, your plans gone, you're knocked down. And watch this, all you can see is what used to be. Matter of fact, that's what you're hearing, that's what Satan is popping in your head constantly about what used to be. Man, we didn't used to have this kind of problem. We didn't used to have to work it this way. We didn't used to do it this way. We had it made back in the good old days. Wasn't it awesome back in the good old days with no microwave? Wasn't it good back in the good old days with the air conditioner in your car was 460 window, 460 air conditioner? I mean, you rolled the windows down. Wasn't it awesome back in what they called the good old days? No. We look back in the back and think about it. You know, people complain now because the air conditioner is 1 or 2 points too high, 1 or 2 points too low. How about if we're in here with no air conditioner and we were using fans? Back in the good old days. Amen. Some are using fans now. Hey, amen. That's right. Satan wants to keep you looking through your rear view mirror. Because if he can keep you looking through your rear view mirror, he can keep you down. If he can keep you looking through your rear view mirror, he can keep you out. If he can keep you looking through your rear view mirror, he can actually hurt you to the point that you may limp along, but you're not going to be very effective because you're too busy looking in the rear view mirror. We talked about this Wednesday night. How many can drive down the road at 70 miles an hour on I-95 looking through your rear view mirror? I wouldn't recommend it either, brother. You got to be looking through the windshield. So Satan wants us not to look through the windshield. He wants us to keep looking in the rearview mirror. And when this happens, then he can get us down. So now, how do you get up when you're looking in that rearview mirror? How do you get up when everything you had planned has been zapped away? How do you get back up with everything you expected? You had it all figured out, your life mapped out. Everything was perfect. And now, it's gone. What do you do? How do you get back up? I'm sure that Moses or Joshua felt that way. Y'all, Archie Bunker, you know what Archie Bunker's theme song was? Somebody tell me. Those were the days. How many remember that? Joshua. I'm sure that when he was caught, I'm going to just ask some things to make you feel a little better, I hope, about your situation. Joshua, when he was called to take Moses' place, I am positive that he felt incomplete. I'm positive that he felt inefficient or insufficient for the job because, listen, let me just show you a little resume of Moses. Just a little bitty resume. This will make you right sick at your stomach when you get up here and think all you're going to have to do is receive the offering and you're saying, I can't do it. What do you see this? The man of God who withstood Pharaoh and brought Egypt to his knees. The man of God who parted the Red Sea. The man of God who brought manna from heaven, who brought water from the rock, who received the law of God in stone, who spoke to God face to face, who saw the glory of God, who led Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. What kind of resume is that to follow behind? Wow. Can you imagine? Joshua is called behind that. I've heard people say, I got to get up after that guy sang, or I got to get up after that person played. Can you imagine having to get up to lead people after that? So here's Joshua. He's already upset because the man's gone. They don't even get a chance to see where they bury him. God hides him. Satan fights for his body because he knows if he can get his body, then he can take that body and he can cause the people even to build a memorial and stay there, or the people even somehow or another wind up resurrecting the body in his way and using it to hurt people. So lead people astray. So he's here. Nobody knows where he's at. He just goes, bye y'all. And he's dead. So here's Joshua. He's down. I mean, he's down. And God says, it's okay to be down for a while, but get back up. It's okay for you to stop and breathe, but get back up. It's okay for you to stop and try to figure things out, but there comes a time when God says you got to get back up. You got to get back in the fight. You got to get back up. I sat back and just in the last few weeks, the stuff I see going on. You know, all the nation was getting all upset because a guy committing a felony was shot. And they wanted to send the FBI and the Department of Justice and everything there to make sure the man committing the felony was not done wrong, and because he was black and the police was white, that he was that. But when that poor woman pregnant woman gets shot on a pier by illegal, nobody says a word. Where's Al Sharpton now? Where's Jesse Jackson now? And then Friday, the guy from Kuwait goes and shoots up in some army recruiting areas or some military recruiting. He kills four army guys and kills one navy guy and winds up wounding one policeman. Where's all the uproar now? We live in an off balance society. Crazy. These guys here, most of these guys had even been over to Iraq. They'd been over to Afghanistan. Some of these guys even had medals for what they had done over there, showing their bravery, and they're shot down on the street because they're wearing a uniform. I don't see it. I don't hear anybody uproared. You know, again, That kind of takes the wind, if I let it, out of myself. It kind of makes you wonder, why even try? Why even say anything? Because they've already got a plan out here. It's already set up that we got some kind of weird idea of what justice is. The Bible used to be the national standard for conduct. Those were the days. Remember that? God was at the center of schools, at community events. He was at the center of our government. I got some good news and bad news. Y'all want the good news or the bad news first? I'm going to give you the bad news first. The bad news is those days are gone. The good news is God isn't. Oh, y'all didn't hear that. The good news is God isn't. God's still here. God is still here. And He's in control. God is in control. And so now, because of that, I want you to watch this now. Yesterday got us here. I'm glad we could pray in school back when I was a little boy because it got me here. I'm glad that we had God in government because it got us here. I'm glad of all this stuff that was going on when God was reigning supreme in our nation because it got us here. Let me tell you something. Yesterday got us here, but yesterday can't move us through today's challenges. With God being taken away, you can't even speak His name in some places. If you say Jesus, wow, you've had it. You know, you can't pray in public anymore. You can't do this stuff because they're scared they're going to offend somebody. You know what? We are just like Joshua. The church is on its knees. Not praying, but out of wind. Y'all didn't hear that. The church is down on its knees. Oh, there's still people praying, but they're not down on their knees because they're praying. They're down on their knees because they're out of wind. All this stuff going on around us, and we can take it back. There's enough of us. We can take it back. If one can chase 1,000 to put 10,000 to flight, imagine the power of the church getting organized. Like all these other groups, getting organized and pulling together. What in the world could we do? Wow, we could have prayer back in school. We could have the government putting up stuff all over the place, the Ten Commandments back up in places. You know, but God's saying, just like he did with Joshua, it's time for us to rise up. Rise up! Come on, it's one thing to be out of wind. Go ahead and let God give you a fresh anointing, which is power and confidence, and give you a fresh perspective, which is wisdom and direction, and get back up. Now we're going to talk about Joshua, but we're going to talk about ourselves a little bit along the way, okay? Now, watch this. This is so awesome. When Joshua needed a dose of God-inspired confidence, how many know Joshua was not his God-given name? How many knew that? That was not his name. Joshua was not his God-given name. Who called him Joshua? Moses. Wow. Watch this. Confidence is simply a feeling of trust, reliance, faith, certainty in someone or something. It's not self-confidence. It's God-confidence. See, Joshua's name was actually given to him by Moses. His name was Joshua, Numbers 13 and 8. Y'all look it up. Joshua. Joshua means salvation. So before his name changed, if you looked at it, it meant that name salvation means that you take care of yourself. That you work through your own wisdom and your own confidence. You work through your own power. Have you ever been there? Is there any Joshuas in here? Or used to be Joshuas. I used to be a Joshua. It's like I'm sneezing up. Gazoon tight, Joshua. Y'all try it next time you're in a store. Somebody goes, achoo! You go, Joshua. Okay. Yo. Okay. Joshua's name now was changed from Joshua to Joshua. This means the Lord is salvation. Now the emphasis is taken off of self and it's put on God. When we were walking in this world, we all were Joshuas. But once we give our life to Jesus Christ, once He took over, once we let Him really take control, and we start walking in the Spirit, then we become Joshuas. So I don't want to be a Joshua, I want to be a Joshua. How about you? Amen. So now, Joshua was an instrument that God used, but the Lord Himself was the source. How many know that? We think, how can we do anything? Because it's just one of us. Well, you know what? Or just a church, or just a few of us. Guess what? When God's in control, that's a lot of people. Amen? Now watch how the scripture, I'm going to give you some scriptures here, how God often exhorts us to confident living. Get ready, here we go. Proverbs 3:26, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. Jeremiah 17:5-7, this is what the Lord says, curse is the one who trusts in man, who depends on the flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Philippians 1:6, being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to its completion. Hebrews 10:35, do not throw away your confidence that is in God. Amen. Do not throw away your confidence. That literally means, it is in the Greek, it speaks of a man in battle getting afraid in battle, throwing down his weapon and running. Do not throw away your confidence, your weapon. Stand up and be strong. Hebrews 13:6 says, so we say with confidence, listen, I don't have to fear what man's going to do unto me because God is my helper. 1 John 4:17, we have confidence on the day of judgment. Now, I'm getting ready to close. I got another 30 minutes, 45, hour. Three of you are doing it. If an hour here, there'll be three of you sitting in here going, okay, your hour's up. Three promises from God when you need confidence to go on. Three promises from God when you need power and perspective. Now get ready. We're going to go through it kind of fast. The first one is, he says, I'll give you every place you set your foot. Well, why did he tell him that? I'll give you every place you set your foot. That's more to it than going, well, I think I'll put it here. You put your right foot in, you take your right foot out. Did you know that the guy that invented the hokey pokey died just a little while back? And it took a couple of days to bury him. You know why? Because every time they put his right foot in, he'd take his right foot out. Okay. All right. I will give you every place you set your foot. Watch this. Here's your mathematical equation. How many likes math? Oh, I love math. Math's awesome. All right, ready? Divine promise plus human responsibility equals success. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Think about it now. Divine promise, meaning what God has told us, when you mix it with you doing something about it, human responsibility, something good happens. You know, so many times we say, God give us a promise, and we just sit there and wait. You know what? Just sitting there and wait, you're not going to do it. You know, I'm going to brag a little bit on my granddaughter. Is that okay? She's in here. She's in the back somewhere. I remember when she was up trying to bat, and her daddy said, if you're going to be batting, now you got to really learn how to bat. So DC got up there, and he showed her how to hold herself up, and I put her foot in and all this stuff. And then he put her in a batting cage, and she'd bat all those things, and she'd go to the game right to start with. It weren't happening. And DC said, we hit 100 balls in practice. Why can't you do it now? And then all of a sudden, the practice was the promise. And once she got in her head and took the practice, guess who? I'm going to brag a little bit. I can. But it's the truth. It's the absolute truth. If you think I'm telling you a story, go ask the people that were there. In the tournament, every game, she brought them out of a slump with her hitting. Amen. That's right. And just the other day, she hit 3 for 4, and the one that got caught was caught at the fence. I mean, you're talking about, that's a long ways to the fence. I'm not talking about out there to the sign that says, please come again, which we hope you do. It's way further out there. This is like hitting it very quick. So the point I'm trying to make is, though, see, when she realized that she had a responsibility along with this practice, now she's almost unstoppable with this hitting. The same way in our own life. You come in here on Sunday, you get training. You read at home, you got practice. It's coming to you. You get it all the time. But when you get at work, you go, oh, here we go again. Here's that big mouth again. Here's that loud mouth. Here's the guy that's going to hurt me again. And you get right there and you go ahead and cower down. You've got to put some responsibility to it. You got all this stuff in your head and in your heart. Let it move. Not get it, it goes in your head. Let it get to your heart. When it gets to your heart, let it go to your body. And then you start doing it. And you watch what God will do. Some amazing things will happen. Some amazing things. So watch this. Watch. God gave the land, but the people had to possess it. He said, I'll give you a place to set your foot. But they had to fight for every inch. Wait a minute. God gave it to us and we had to fight for every inch? Yeah. How many had to fight this week? How many had to fight to get to church today? I didn't say fight each other. I meant it was a struggle. Somebody looked at the other and started pointing. I said, no, go stop that. By faith, we claim the promises of God. We have to set our foot on the promise for it to be a reality. God's looking for us to have an active faith, not a passive faith. Amen? Our faith is the plane, not the parachute. Y'all didn't hear that. Our faith is the plane, not the parachute. Whether somebody else drives the plane and we just hope that something's going to work out all right. If it don't, God's my parachute. I'll hit the ground safely. No, God's my plane. God's my pilot. God's taking care of me. God's got things going. Praise the Lamb of God. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to fail because God's got me. I'm not afraid of that. You know, y'all done seen it on Facebook, but some of you have. I don't have Facebook. I just heard that it was on there. But at 3:30 in the morning, on Wednesday night, or Thursday morning, I think it was Thursday morning, Wednesday morning, one of those mornings, Linda wakes me up. I got my breathing machine on. I don't even smell it. And Linda says, wake up, honey. I said, what? She says, there's smoke in the house. And I looked up and it was everywhere. And so I ran to the bathroom. I looked in the bathroom and there was nothing burning. So I turned on the exhaust fan and I ran to the kitchen. I didn't see anything burning. So I turned on the exhaust fan. I ran to the back room and there it was. The hot water heater, it got shorted out. The thermostat in there had shorted out. And when it did, when it burnt the wire, it actually melted the plastic. And the plastic had fallen down onto the carpet and started burning it. And the smoke went up into the air conditioner and it blew it all over the house. And so I got up and I put it out. Linda came and gave me a fire extinguisher. Says, don't just use water, honey. Use the fire extinguisher. So I squirted a little bit to get it out. She says, no, use it. So I went ahead and used it all. Matter of fact, I started going, shh. And after I squirted it out, she said, that's amazing. You got it from a dead sleep and you just jumped up and you just started rolling back and forth. And she said, man, you're like Superman. And I said, that's the anointing, dear. That was the anointing. And I said, plus I was a fireman. So I said, you know, that was pretty cool too. I couldn't find my boots, but that's all right. But I'm here to tell you something. We got thinking about that thing. And it had been given trouble for about 2 weeks. And as it was given this trouble, I had replaced the element, and I was going to replace the thermostat, but I got the thermostat working again. So I said, it's working now. I'll leave it alone. Well, it wasn't working like I thought it was, and it sparked and caused all this problem. Well, I had left the door off of the cabinet where you get to it. I had left a little plastic cover off and set it down. And so if it hadn't been for God, and I even went to go put everything back on Wednesday night, or well, excuse me, Tuesday, I went to put it all back on, and the Lord said no. And, of course, that meant I could procrastinate a little bit longer. I said, sure, no problem. And Linda says, do you realize if we hadn't had all that stuff off, we would have never known where it was at until it was too late? Isn't God awesome? She said, are you upset? I said, no, but my heart's beating kind of hard. And I stayed up the rest of the night smelling. You see, God's going to take care of you. God wants an active faith. Not a passive faith, an active faith. The warrior spirit is too easy to get discouraged and intimidated by in our faith. I'm going to read this to you. I'm getting ready to close. I told you I was. I really am. If y'all have faith enough, I'll close. I hear y'all going now. Let him close, Lord. Let him close, Lord. watch this. Numbers 13. Numbers 13, God had already promised them all of this stuff. God had already showed them everything that he was going to do for them. But yet, their faith got tested, and their faith didn't do too good, because it said in Numbers 13, 27, and they told them, and it said, "We came into a land which thou sentest us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." And then he says, and then he actually says, "We were grasshoppers in our eyes, we were grasshoppers in their eyes." Wow. And Caleb and Joshua, they tried to steal the people and trying to calm them down. If you look in chapter 14, verses 6 through 9, "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us in a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us." Meaning it's nutritious. This fight is going to be nutritious. This fight is going to be good for us. This fight is going to help us. The fight you're in right now, I'm here to tell you something. I believe God told me to tell you. The fight that you're in right now is going to be good for you. You don't understand it. You don't believe it. The fight you're in right now is good for you because it is bread for you. It is actually going to cause you to grow, not to fall. It's actually going to cause you to go forward, not backwards. It's going to do more for you than it could you've ever had done without it. Praise the Lamb of God. God knows. He already knew what you were going to go through when he gave you the promise years ago. You just worked out the promise in your head, and God knew when he gave you the promise exactly how it was going to happen. I can imagine, like, you want to make God laugh, tell him what you're going to do. Yeah, just tell him what you're going to do. I'm going to do this, 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 and it's going to be fixed this, this, and this way, and God's going to go, ha, ha, ha. I know what's coming down the road. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Wow! Fear them not. We need a spirit like Joshua and Caleb who are willing to possess the land. So now, divine power. First, we had divine promise. Secondly, we had divine power. "I will be with you as I was with Moses," in verse 5. "No one will be able to stand up against you." Why? Because they were doing the will of God. Here's the tricky part. Listen carefully. We get saved, and once we get serious with God, we start asking him to direct us. As he directs us, please listen carefully. This is going to explain a lot of things to you. As we ask him to direct us, we follow his directions. Then along the way, we get feeling good because we're having some success. We're feeling good because things are really looking good. We're feeling good because now, wow, we're being blessed, blessed, blessed. And along the way, we trade God's direction for ours. I've done it. How many's done that? We traded our direction for God's. And then we stopped being blessed. And we say, "What are you doing to us, God? Why are we not being blessed anymore? You blessed us tremendously, and now where is it?" The promises that God gave Joshua were as long as Joshua was doing it God's way. The promises not pertain to self-interest, but acting on the will of God. Deuteronomy 28 and 2 and 7 says, "All these blessings shall come to thee and overtake thee," meaning it won't just come at you. You ain't really got to reach out for it. It's going to grab you and just bless you and bless you and bless you, or hold you down and bless you. It's like God with his blessing holding you down, giving you a blessing noogie. It's holding you down. It'll overtake you. "If thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, the Lord shall cause thy enemies to rise up against thee. Thou shalt be smitten before thy face. Thou shalt come against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you." Here's what God did. God was with Moses in first providential care. He protected him while confronting Pharaoh. He was there with limitless supply. On Mount Sinai, God said, Who are you? God says, "I am that I am." What kind of name is that? I am that I am. Jesus come along and showed us, "I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the water of life." What it is God was telling Moses on that mountain, I am whatever you need to get the job done that I have assigned to you. Wow. You know, and then there's the divine authority. He transformed his rod into a sign of authority to that serpent. Miraculous power. Through the power of God, destroyed the firstborn of Egypt. The sea parted. Manna came from heaven. Water issued from the rock. The cloud guided them in the desert. They were victorious in battle. And he had a close relationship face to face with him. Divine presence. I'm going to tell you my story about D.C. right now. I'll never leave you. The biblical concept of the presence of God is more than his omnipresence. It's his active, powerful presence in our lives. In 2001, well, just before that, and DC, I hope you don't mind me talking about you a little bit because it ends up good. It ends up good, it really does. Me and DC's mom were concerned about him because he'd gone off to college and to start with, and he started hanging with the wrong people, and we were really concerned about him because we thought he was doing things he shouldn't be, and we were praying for him and trusting God. And then his mom died. And when his mom died, DC just lost interest and actually quit going to church. He went to Tennessee and he come back, and I remember he was out playing. He was out playing all weekends. He was out playing somewhere, him and Randy. Randy was with him. They're out playing somewhere, you know, from not even in this state, sometimes in other states they were playing. And I would sit down as I was thinking about services, and I'm thinking, he's not going to church. Daniel's not going to church. They didn't want to see the church. And Beverly's not there. And before this, I had me and DC and Daniel playing all these instruments, Beverly singing like Janet Paschal, and DC and Daniel singing, and it was just so beautiful. And everywhere I went, I had all this music. And it was awesome. And praise and worship in our house all the time, it was just awesome. Of course, we also played some other stuff, but you know. Beverly would holler, "Cut that stuff down, this isn't a honky-tonk. We're trying to get some sleep." But it was just joyful around there all the time with music, music, music. And just like that, the music was gone. Just like that, my companion was gone. Just like that, my boys were gone. And there was nights that I would lie awake and it would bring tears. And I'd say, "God," I was looking in my rearview mirror. And I said, "God, I sure wish I had that back." And for the next few years, I just seemed like everything was so dry because there was no Beverly, D.C., Daniel. And I would say, lay in bed at night, I'd even walk into church and I'd look around and I'd say, "God," and I'd look through the rearview mirror. I'd say, "God, I miss it so bad." And the Lord gave me a promise one day and said, "You're going to be up with those boys playing again. Just trust me. You're going to play again." And I said, "I trust you, Lord, but I don't see how." Because it sounded like we're moving further apart instead of together as far as the music and all that. And one day Daniel called me. DC and Daniel come here a little bit, but they still just run in a couple of times. They were gone. And I said, "Is this it, Lord? Is this it?" "No, this isn't it. You hold on, hold on, hold on." And I keep on praying. And I said, "Lord," he said, "quit looking in the rearview mirror, look forward. Quit looking in the rearview mirror, look forward. I'm going to do something different. Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on." And Daniel calls me. I was taking Calvin out for his birthday, taking him out to lunch at the place in New Bern. I get a phone call from Daniel, so I pick it up and say, "What's up, buddy?" He says, "I got to tell you something." I said, "What?" He said, "I'm fighting this thing." I said, "What you fighting, buddy?" I'm thinking, "Oh no, here we go again. What we fighting? Are we going to try to get you out of a ticket now? I got to call a lawyer?" He said, "No, Dad." He said, "I want to come to the church and I want to help play." I said, "Come on." And then Daniel came. Then about 6 months later, we get a call from a church over here. It says, "Can you and your boys come and play in this revival?" I said, "You mean you want me to bring the praise team?" He said, "I want you to bring you and the boys." And I said, okay. And so for the first time in 13 years, me, DC, and Daniel sat in here one Saturday, and in an hour or two went over into how many songs? 30 songs. There's a bunch of them. For the first time in 13 years, as I'm starting to play, and I can feel it, I feel that promise coming. And God's saying, don't look in the rearview mirror, look forward. So we go play, we have a good time. I didn't tell DC, DC need to come be with us, none of that. And about a month later, DC says, Dad, I think I want to come play with y'all, come be at church with y'all. And I said, you sure? Because it's a long ways to go. He says, Dad, I don't care if it's 100 miles. I want to be there. He come in, and I'm not kidding. The very first time we played, I could feel that promise starting to come to pass. And then DC, I said, DC, can you pick a song up here? And he said, I haven't sang it in 7 years, but I want to play it, Shelter in the Arms of God. And first I weren't going to play, and I said, no, I need to play. And I got down and sat down and started playing. As I started playing, I heard him say, the promise that I promised you, I fulfilled. Yeah. It took 13 years. But you know what? Somebody in practice one night had practiced DC and, or took a little film of DC and Daniel singing some kind of song that we had done in practice. And I come home and then I said, look at this. And she started playing it. And here it goes again. She says, it must make you really proud to see those two boys in church playing and singing. And I heard it again. The promise is coming. The promise is here. The promise is here. You see, you got to trust him. I will never leave you. You may think he has. You may think everything's all to pieces. But you know what? He's there. He's there all the time. And you know what else? That young man back there is one of the finest young men of God I've ever met. It's blown me away at the young man of God he's turned into be. And I said young man because I'm a younger man. I mean, he's a younger man because I'm a young man. I took my daddy to go to crowd last night, and she said, senior. I said, no, he is an accelerated senior. I said, I'm a senior. He's an accelerated senior. So we need a double discount for him. And after he got through eating and said, they were going to put an extra carrying charge on him because he carried so much food out in here. Okay, we're getting ready to close. The presence of God is a guide. I'm not even going to read the scriptures. You can look at them later if you want to. I'll give you a copy of it. The presence of God is a guiding presence. It's a protective presence. It's a joyful presence. It's a reassuring presence. It's a comforting presence. God wants us to stand back up. The power behind you. I'm not talking about the rearview mirror. I'm talking about the power that's propelling you. Is greater than the force you're fighting. I've told some of y'all this story before, and I'm going to end it with this. DC, come on up here, buddy. This will be awesome. I just got through talking about you. Now you can come on up here and... Now what you do now is you can actually... You don't have to give me 25 cents anymore. Just come here and play. There was... They wanted to explore deep down 7 miles... down into the bottom of the ocean. And no man could go down that far because they would literally implode. The pressure was so great, no man could go down there and live. There was no vessels made that man could live. So they finally come up with a submarine, a robotic submarine. This robotic submarine could go down, and it could handle it. So they were going to explore down into these valleys down the bottom of the ocean. And as they're going down to explore, they pass all the sea life. There's no sea life because it's too much pressure. And when they get down 7 miles down, and they're way on down, with that submarine, this robotic, they notice these itty-bitty fish swimming around. And they said, this is impossible. Nothing can live down here. And here's these itty-bitty fish. And so... they took out the arm or whatever they had, their scooper, and they scooped up some of those fish. And they brought them back to the surface. How can they? Sharks can't live down there. Whales can't live down there. There's no sea life down there because it's so, the pressure is so great. How are these little fishies living down there? And so marine biologists took them and they examined them. And they found out the reason that they can exist in this pressure is because although the pressure is so great pushing against them, there's something built in them that produces pressure and pushes out. So no matter how bad the pressure pushes against them, that within them pushes out a greater pressure. And they can survive what many things, what many lives, what many stuff, even mechanical stuff could not survive. They could because of something inside of them that was generating power. When I heard that, all I could think about, when people say, how in the world did you make it through when your wife died and the boys left? How did you make it through when this happens or this happens? How did you do all this when your mama died and she was so sick? How? And all I could think about when I heard about those little fish is because there was a power inside of me that when the pressure from the outside was trying to crush, the power on the inside was pushing against it. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So when you can hardly stand it anymore, when the pressure is so great you don't even want to get back up, you even through looking in the rearview mirror, you just want to throw everything away and just quit. Remember, get back up. Because the power within you is greater than the power all around you. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. God's not through with you. God's got something special. See that soldier? Get on back up. That's why I showed that soldier at the cross while I go with Joshua. He was a soldier. Yet he was down. Be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. God's got something special. Don't give up. Don't give in. It may not be going the way you think it should. Don't give up on God. It may not be happening the way you thought it was going to happen. You got hit where you weren't expecting to be hit. Don't look in the rearview mirror. Trust God. God told me that I'd be playing with my boys again and having fun worshiping God. And I honestly didn't see how that was going to happen. But now we all see it every Sunday. God's promise. God's promise came to pass. God's promise. I want everybody to stand. If you got a need in your life right now, I want you to go ahead and come on up here. God's got a promise that He wants to fulfill in your life. He wants to fulfill it. He wants to fulfill it. God's got power for you that you never even knew that you could have. Start making your way up here to the front. Start making your way up here to the front. Let's pray. It's 12. It's 12:25. If you haven't got a watch, it's 12:25. It'll be okay. Come on and pray. Come on and pray. Come on up, and if nothing else, give thanks to God for His help that you get this far today. God, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You've got everything under control. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. God, I've been hit below the belt. God, I've been zapped. God, I wasn't expecting that turn to come up. I didn't see the no trespassing sign. Satan didn't see the no trespassing sign. I've been hit harder than I've ever been hit before. Life has taken me down a road that I rather wouldn't have wanted to go down. But I trust you, God. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you, God. I trust you. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. God, I ask you. God, I ask you to help me see with your eyes, not with mine, because what I see I don't like. But God, I know, Lord, you have a plan, and it's a good plan, for our lives. All these enemies, all these battles, all of them, all of these battles is bread for us. It's bread for us. It's not going to hurt us. It's going to make us stronger. It's not going to defeat us. It's going to make us great defenders of your faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You've got everything under control. I ask you right now, Father, to touch us, Lord, to help us, Lord, to see, to know, to understand that you are still here and you're still with us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're awesome. You're awesome, God. You're awesome. I don't understand it. I don't understand many things that happen. Even when you gave me that promise about me and my boys, I didn't know it'd take 13 years. But it was worth every year now. Worth every year. And I thank you for it, Lord. Lord, it's awesome to be with you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You're an awesome God. There's nothing impossible for you. Nothing impossible for you. Nothing impossible for you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yes, life hurts. Life hurts. But you're an awesome God, and you got this. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. 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 God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. My challenge to you today, this the rest of this week, is to not be problem conscious, but to be solution conscious.